Him. So, Lord, we choose You, and in choosing You, You give us, You fill us with the fullness of God. We thank You for the joy that comes. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So, Lord, in this time, in the quiet of this moment, we pause and we thank You. We thank You for the joy of the Lord filling us, even when hard times go on in our lives, strengthening us when we don't know how else we're going to make it. The joy of the Lord. Because we have chosen You, Lord Jesus, we have followed You, the One who made the way for us to the Father. We thank You, Lord, for grace and mercy in Jesus. And we thank You, Lord, for the calm delight that comes in the joy of the Lord. So, Lord, may these next few moments as we open Your Word be useful for us in our daily lives. May we learn again today what Paul has to say to us about the secrets of joy. And we thank You, Lord, for all that You do for us. We thank You for the fellowship we have together in this place and the sweet spirit here, and we thank You for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4. Today we will be completing what we've been talking about. I can't believe it, for 9 weeks we've been talking together about the secrets of joy. Remember now, Paul the Apostle is writing these words in a Roman prison, and he's writing these words not in a good place, in a hard condition. So we see from Paul his words, we trace through this book. This is what I've been trying to do for 9 weeks. We trace through this book these expressions of Paul. I call them these secrets of joy. How is it Paul could live such a joyous life in such a hard place? That's the question. That's the question facing every one of us who know Jesus Christ. How can you maintain joy? Just like we sang about today, just like we heard in song today, how can you maintain joy when it seems like everything is unraveling in your life? Well, we come to the end of this wonderful book. I'm always a little sad when we finish one of these series, one of these times of talking about something. I feel like we've just gotten it in our minds and we should go on, but we'll move on to other things in the days ahead. So I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's Word. This morning, I want you to hear me now, the secret of joy that we'll be talking about is the joy, church, of giving and receiving. The joy of giving and receiving. Paul opens this chapter. I just would call your attention back if you have your copy of God's Word, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Turn to your neighbor and say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 15, Paul says, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared, this Greek word is koinonia, partnered, no church had koinonia with me, please notice, in the matter of giving and receiving. Boy, that's very important to what we're talking about today. No other church partnered with Paul in giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit or the gain which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied or filled, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And then we have this famous verse, verse 19. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So Heavenly Father, we thank You for the testimony of Paul written so many, many, many years ago. A testimony of what we still see and experience today. As Your people give of themselves and their time, and as they give financially their tithes and offerings, the work of the Lord goes on, and there's not a need that's not met in order to accomplish the gospel. And we thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to learn again from Your word, the joy that comes in giving, and the surprise that You bring to us when we receive back because we've given. We don't expect it back. We give it freely because You've done all for us. We give. We are giving people because we've been given to. So we thank You for that. And may today the Holy Spirit impress these words on our heart. Lord, I pray what I've prayed all morning long. I pray that every person here today, when they face some hardship or difficulty or struggle or some need this week, they will hear these words from the Holy Spirit. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. How I pray that the Holy Spirit will make those words real to these people this week in the midst of all the things they will face that they don't even know about at this moment. May Jesus be honored and glorified by my words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I'd like for you to take your Bible now before we start. And I want to review, because not everybody's been here all 9 weeks. Some have, but not everybody. But I want to remind you all of these secrets of joy. They are so very valuable for you. I love one of our ladies, her and her husband were standing in the 8 o'clock service, and she had a little necklace on that said, "Choose joy." There you go. Joy comes spontaneously as we do these kinds of things in our life, church. You're searching for joy? Here are the secrets. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. These are famous words. Many of the teachers in this church quote them. We quote them to each other. You find these words, a lot of them on signs and artwork. Notice what the Bible says. "For I am confident of this thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Good news. When you came to be born again, God started doing something in your life, and He's not going to stop working in you until He finishes it and God calls you to heaven. Good news. God isn't finished with you yet. Now let's preach to our neighbor. Turn, tell your neighbor, God's not finished with you yet. And you're saying, thank goodness for that, right? 1 Corinthians 1:21, second secret of joy is living or dying for Christ. For to me, Paul says, for to me, laying in a prison, are you listening this morning, church? For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Nothing else in life matters. At the center of life, a life of joy, is following Jesus and living for Jesus. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Chapter 2, verse 17, we learn from Paul that joy comes when we give our lives away. We pour our lives out for others. Look at this. It's 2:17 in your Bible. Paul says, "But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith." There it is. We give ourselves away as sacrifice and service for somebody else's faith. This is Philippians 2:17. "I rejoice and share my joy with you all. There is nothing that takes the place of sacrificial service for others in the name of Jesus. You pour yourself out. It's an Old Testament way of describing the drink offering that was poured out on the altar before the Lord. Nothing left in the cup. It's all poured out. We pour ourselves out. You do your service for the Lord. You keep pouring yourself out. You pour yourself out. You empty yourself in serving other people. It's the way of joy. It's to pour yourself out. Then we learn the joy of losing and gaining. Look at these words. In chapter number 3, verses 7 and 8, we read, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord." I've suffered the loss of everything to know Jesus. Living for Jesus and putting Jesus at the center of my life. Listen, that means I declare Him as Lord. That means before you make a decision in your life, you say, "Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do?" Lordship requires submission and surrender. And Paul understood that joy is in losing what I think is important in order to say yes, Lord, to His Lordship and gain things I cannot imagine. Then we learn about Christ's likeness in verse number 14. Paul says, "I press on, I run toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ." We talked about this before. I mentioned that there is in the Alps an old gravestone written there, where an old mountain climber died climbing the Alps. And the inscription simply says, "He died climbing." And I said to you, the better way to read this is, "Die running." Are you listening to me this morning? Die running toward the upward call. You see, you've been called up. Everything that's for you and for me and Jesus is up. You set your mind on things above. Get your minds off of things down here below. If I'm not careful, I'll start preaching this again. I got to move on. You've been called, so press on to Christ's likeness. And then we go to the next secret found. This is the one I got a lot of feedback from people on, and I appreciated it. We read in Philippians 4, verse number 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I said it to you that day, I'll say it to you today. What did you come in here today? What's on your worry list today? "Well, Pastor Mike, I'm a Baptist and I don't worry." You're lying in church. We learned you take your worries and you make them your prayer list. This is God's way. We don't have a separate prayer list. We have our worry list as our prayer list. So what happens? The peace of God starts to come as you pray. And your worry list is your prayer list. And the amazing thing is, I don't know how to explain it, you make your requests known to God and the peace of God comes. And the peace of God and the joy of God go together in the Christian life. If you look at the fruit of the Spirit, the first three, love, joy, peace, the peace of God. That's what you want. That's what I want. So we pray about everything. That's joyful. Then we think deeply about godly things in verse number 8. Whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's right, pure, lovely, of good repute, of excellence, worthy of praise. All these 8 categories. If you want categories around which to put your thinking, Paul says, think deeply about these 8 qualities in your life. Oh, friend, joy comes when you change your thinking. This is what Paul was talking about. And we spent a lot of time talking about that together. So what are you thinking about today? What are you worrying about today? You pray about everything. The peace of God comes and you think on godly things. You choose not to think on those things that are untrue and unlovely, as the list goes on. And then we talked last week about contentment. Verses 11 and 12. Not that I speak from need, Paul says. I have learned something. Some of our boys and girls, you're going to school to learn. But you don't just go to school to learn. Life teaches us these lessons. You know what we learn the longer we live? We learn that there are going to be good days, there are going to be bad days. There are going to be days where we have everything we need, and there are going to be other times when we can barely get by. But guess what we learn? We learn what Paul said. Here's joy. I have learned to be satisfied, contented in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to get along with prosperity. Do you know how to get along? And are you living in the joy of the Lord in contentment? And then we come today. No better way to end this. For here's a man who's given his all. Paul gave it all. You know, he's going to later say at the end, his last letter he wrote to his young preacher friend Timothy, he's going to say, I've fought a good fight and I've kept the faith and I've finished. We can be like Paul, we can press on like he is. He wasn't any different than us, a sinner saved by grace. But now he states for us these amazing words, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So what do we learn about giving and receiving? Well, I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes. And here are all three of these principles. I've just put them on one slide. It's a little easier for us to get them down. First of all, first thought about these verses is this. We should rejoice in the Lord because there is great gain in giving. You see, this is all about giving and receiving. Sometimes we get it backwards because our flesh, we want to receive. So what do I have to do to receive? Well, I guess I got to give. But the biblical order is, as in your giving, there is receiving. I hope you're hearing how I'm expressing this. In your giving, there is receiving. They're not separate things. In giving, there is receiving. It's reciprocal. They go together. This is the biblical way. This is what the Bible says from the very beginning in the Old Testament. All the way through the New Testament, the principle of giving and receiving, they are connected together. So Paul begins by thanking the Philippians for being the church at this time. Now, some 10 years have gone by. I want you to remember that. 10 years is a pretty good amount of time. The estimates are that there's been 10 years of gap between the latest gift Paul receives from the Philippians and their first gift that he's talking about. But notice in verse number 15, he says, I want you Philippians to know you're the only ones who shared with me. You partnered with me in the gospel. And notice the language in verse 15, in the matter of giving and receiving. If we were reading this in the original language, in the Greek language, the idea of the giving and receiving phrase, it's a simple little phrase used in Paul's day for business transactions. You give and you receive. It's business transaction. So he uses this business language to describe investing, are you listening? And receiving for your investment. You invest and you gain. You invest and you gain. It's an investment gaining kind of idea. And so Paul says, I rejoice. He's rejoicing because of the great gain that comes in giving and receiving. So here's the idea. I've got to give. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to give of ourselves. We're to give of our time. We're to, I'm going to mention it again in a minute, but I'll say it now. We're to offer the sacrifice of praise. We sacrifice in giving praise. You know why? Because not everything's worth praising about. There are a lot of things in our life that, but we break out in praise in the midst of hard times. Job did it a long time ago. He lost 10 children, everything else he had, and he broke into worship and said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the sacrifice of praise. We praise God when it's easy and when it's hard. We also learn in Romans 12 to present our bodies as a sacrifice to God. Here I am, Lord, day by day. I'm your sacrifice. What do you want to do with me? How do you want to speak through me? How do you want me to use my hands and my feet? What do you want me to think about? Where do you want me to go? The sacrifice of myself and my time. And then we also learn that there is the sacrifice of our tithes and offerings. Our financial means, we give it. We give ourselves. We give our time. We make these sacrifices. So Paul reminds these Philippians that they were partnering with him in giving and receiving. That's what we do in this church. As we give our time and sacrifice our time and give and serve, and we do those things together, partnering in the gospel. Paul says in verse 17, the value is for you, not for me. Notice he says, not that I have need, but the gift is an increase to your account. What wonderful idea. When you pay out of your account, you don't have as much in your bank account when you give, but all of a sudden in giving, something goes back in the account. God has a way of making up what we give. Have you ever heard a preacher say, you can't outgive God? Well, you just heard one. So turn to your neighbor and say, you can't outgive God. But give more. Oh, you didn't say that part. But give more. That leads me to the second thing. Rejoice in the Lord. Sacrificial giving pleases God. Look what he says. He says in verse number 18, I've received everything I need in full. Paul said, I'm full. Your gift has blessed me. Listen, when you and I give of our time, we serve at the church, we do ministry here, we carry out ministries in other places God calls us to, we give our tithes and offerings, we do all of that. We're the people who will never be heard to say it are expressed by Paul. I have everything I need. Thank you for giving. Thank you for giving like Jesus. Thank you for your support of the work and your finances. He says, I'm full, I have abundance, I'm supplied, I don't have any need. And what you sent, look at this, is a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to the Lord. He's describing the Old Testament way. The priest would bring the sacrifice. And when the priest would bring when the people would bring the sacrifice to the Old Testament priest, they would burn the sacrifice and a fragrant aroma, the smoke would go up. The language of a fragrant aroma means that the sacrifice was pleasing to God. Did you know when you give off a scent, my friend, and God smells it. You have a sweet aroma about you. In your giving, he says it's a sweet, fragrant aroma. He says it is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's acceptable to God. When I sacrificially give, Jesus sat that day at the temple in the treasury. You know, one part of the temple, if you look at pictures of it in your Bible, there's one section there in the courtyard of the women area, which was the treasury, and every Jewish man would bring their sacrifices, women would bring their sacrifices and put them in the treasury. They would bring their tithes and offerings. Jesus sat there with his disciples one day. You know this story. And a dear widow lady came and gave half a penny. That's all she had. And Jesus said, this woman has given more than all the rest, sacrificially giving my time, sacrificially stepping aside from... Everybody in here is giving your time to something. But how much of your time is Jesus' time? What is your Jesus' time? Well, Pastor Mike, look, not all of us don't have a job like you and just go up there to the church and work. We got to go for it. We have a real job. We got a lot of things to do. What's your Jesus' time? How do you come to the Lord and say, here I am, Lord. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to give my time? Lord, here's my checkbook. Here's my check. Here's what I earned. How much of this do you want me to give? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to give it? It's a sweet aroma. You see, The Philippians couldn't see Paul. They sent their friend Epaphroditus. They sent one of their men from the church. He saw Paul. They never saw him. Paul wrote back and said, "You have filled my needs. You didn't even know what I needed, and I am full." Leads me to the last thing. You can never read this verse, this famous verse that you find in plaques and Christian artwork, without remembering the context. "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Rejoice in the Lord. God supplies those who give. See, this is the promise. The promise is I'm pouring myself out. I'm writing that check for the work of the gospel and for the work of the church that's going to be hard for me. I'm going to surrender this much of my time that I've been giving to these other things, and I'm going to give them to the work of God. I'm going to find my place. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to connect. I'm going to serve. And as you do, listen to what the Bible says. This is Paul. "My God will supply." It's the same word. It's a word play. In verse 18, he says, "Everything I have is supplied." The word actually is the means to fill up. The idea of the word is to fill and overflow. Did you hear that in a song just a few minutes ago? Filled up, filled up. When I give of myself, when I commit my body as a sacrifice to God, when I write and financially support the work of God and the advance of the gospel, guess what happens? I'm filled up. There is a connection between my giving and my receiving. And it's all on each one of us. Jesus said, "Look, when you give, don't let your right hand know what your left is doing." That's kind of hard to do. That's pretty serious privacy when my right hand doesn't know what my left is doing. Oh, it's between you and the Lord. You give it and the Lord sees it. And Jesus said, as you give, the Lord sees what you have need of even before you ask for your needs to be replaced. But this is not the American way. This is the gospel way. Jesus gave it all and received back glory and honor from the Father as he ascended to heaven, our great high priest, our Lord and our King. So there is for all of us this lesson. You want to know what is at the core of joy and delight? By the way, we've talked about this over and over again. The word joy simply means delight. Calm delight. It's not crazy, jumping up and down, rolling around on the floor, over the chairs. It's calm delight. The storm was raging in the boat. Jesus was sound asleep. Calm delight. When everything's falling apart in your life, you know this: for me to live is Christ and die is gain. You know this: that as I give, the Lord will supply my needs. As I'm pouring it out, it may be the last I've got. I may not have any more that I can give. This may be the very last bit I can do, but I'm going to do it. And guess what happens? Amazing things happen. God provides for our needs according to his riches. Did you see this now just as we close? Look at this. "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So I had when I went to a Baptist school in Oklahoma. When I went to school, I had a roommate who lived off of an estate of his family. And, you know, it was, I mean, we were completely in different worlds. You know, I'm not living off of any estate. I'm just trying to get by, to get over there, and it was good. That was God's way for me. I'm not complaining about it. Bob had an estate. You know what was interesting? Now, don't shut me out. You got to listen to this. This is really good. This, in fact, I saved the best part for the last 2 minutes, if you'll get with me here. You know, Bob never worried about anything because he lived off of a really pretty much inexhaustible estate from his family. I mean, there was always money. He didn't think about that. He never thought about it. Did you know the reason why you can have such joy is because you live off the riches? Are you listening? You live off the riches. I'm reading it right here in my Bible. I'm living off the riches that come in Jesus Christ in His glory. Is that not good news, ladies and gentlemen? You live in the riches of God. How can I give it? Because the riches of the Lord make it up. The riches of the Lord make it up. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. The riches of His kindness. Romans chapter 11, verse number 33. The riches of His knowledge and wisdom. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The riches of His grace. And then Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The riches of His inheritance. Peter says that inheritance that goes with living forever and knowing Jesus is reserved for you in heaven. It'll never rust. It'll never wear out. It'll never run out. You have an inheritance that is eternal and permanent. You're living off the riches of God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. That to me brings joy because there's not anything else you need. You don't need anything else. So, as I give, the riches of the Lord just keeps putting it back. And I give some more and I quit worrying about what I don't have. I start thinking about what I can give. Are you listening? I quit worrying about what I don't have and I just keep giving. That's the secret of joy. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You that Your Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, I'm speaking to my friends, and every one of us has said to You when we're in a hard place, Lord, I don't have enough. But I'm going to serve You anyway. And many of us, like David, have been young and we are now old, and we've yet to see the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg bread. And we thank You for that because that's what Paul is saying to us today. So for some of us today, Lord, we got to go home and we got to say, how am I giving? How am I giving? How much Jesus time is in my schedule? How much of my finances do I give to the work and cause of Christ, the ministry work of this church? How much have I served the Lord here in this place, or gone on a trip, or served in some capacity? What is it You want me to do? A few weeks ago I said to this church, are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? You have to answer that, friend. Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? So it's giving and receiving. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible says if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's where your life starts, friend. Joy comes when you follow Jesus. And for some of you today, that's the first thing you need to do. You need to come down, say to one of the pastors, look, I don't know if I know Jesus, but I'm ready to follow Jesus. Tell me what to do. That's why we call people to publicly come from the balcony and below. We do it every week. Do it all the time. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, the Bible says. You just call out and we'll help you with it. If you're here and you don't belong somewhere, you need to belong to a place. These Philippians cared for one another. They cared for Paul, and that's what we seek to do as a church. We're not perfect here. We fail. We don't do things like we should. All of us, including the preacher, we all fail. But we're seeking to do the best we can to be connected and partner together in giving and receiving to carry out the gospel. So Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are here today who need to make public decisions. There's a whole lot of us here who need to privately talk to You and make some changes to experience the joy of the Lord. Lord, we've been complaining about what we're not getting out of something rather than the joy of giving to something. Teach us from Your Word today. May the Holy Spirit work among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? We're going to sing together this great old song. We invite you to come if you need to come. Without Him, I can do nothing. Come on, if you need to come.